I invite you to take your Bible in hand and turn to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 38 through 42 of Luke chapter 10 this morning. If you're using one of the Bibles there in the pew, you will want to turn to page 869. And if you do not own a Bible, we would love for you to accept that Bible in the pew as a gift from Bethany to you this morning. This sermon series that we are in, it's titled Eating with Jesus. We are reading in Luke's gospel passages where Jesus shared meals with people. And these passages teach us things, wonderful, needful things, about the grace of Jesus so that we might embrace it, about the mission of Jesus so that we might learn from Him and follow Him in it. Last week, we read about an event that is recorded in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us about the day when Jesus fed thousands of people with five loaves and two fish. That's an event that's very familiar among Christians. That miracle teaches us about who Jesus is, that He is the bread that has come down from heaven, so that we might be saved by faith in Him. Our great need is to receive the life-giving provision of Jesus. That was the point of that miracle as He fed the thousands of people. And also we learned about how Jesus amazingly includes and involves us as His disciples in His mission as we serve others with the good news of His death on the cross for our sin, His resurrection from the dead, so that they might experience the life-giving provision of Jesus as well. So that was last Sunday, just as a review. Today, we're going to read in Luke chapter 10 an event that only Luke records. Luke alone tells us about this day when a woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. Yet, arguably, this event is just as familiar among Christians as is the day when Jesus fed thousands. We recognize in this event there is something crucial for us to learn about the Christian faith and practice. It's actually an event in which two women, sisters named Martha and Mary, had an encounter with Jesus. And in that encounter, Martha, the hostess in this passage, she was in danger of missing the one thing that is necessary. And Mary, the other woman, her sister, she had chosen the good portion. Let's give your full attention to the reading of God's Word, beginning with verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Him and said, "Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we ask by the power of Your eternal Spirit that You would open our ears, that we might hear the voice of Your Son. Open our minds so that we might know Jesus. Open our hearts that we might embrace and adore Jesus. Empower our wills that we might obey Jesus. And we ask all of that in His blessed name. Amen. Let me address something right away that you may have observed as we read this passage. this sermon series. In this sermon series, we're thinking together on the subject of eating with Jesus. And this is the one passage that we're going to read in this whole series where eating and dining or food is not specifically mentioned. Now, I believe that Martha's serving in this passage indicates that she was likely preparing meal for her guests to eat. But still, there's not a meal mentioned in this text, at least not the meal, the kind of meal we might expect. So we might ask the question, how is it about eating with Jesus? Well, I pray that we will see today that this is a crucial passage about eating with Jesus. Food is mentioned in this text. The life-giving, needful, satisfying food, the bread of heaven that has come down from heaven to provide himself for our salvation. And there's one woman in this passage who was feasting on that food, and there's one woman in this passage who was missing it. The food in this text is every word that comes from the mouth of Jesus. And Jesus had come to town, and this woman, Martha, she welcomed him into her home. Her name, Martha, means literally lady of the house. And it fit her. The name fit her very well. She was a fine hostess. Jesus had been going about teaching with authority. He had been doing many mighty miracles, like feeding thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And there was a lot of excitement about him. And when he came to her town, Martha opened her doors wide and said, "Come to my house." She welcomed him into her house. And then she busied herself making preparations to serve him. She was a busy, busy woman, was Martha. And there's another woman in this passage, Martha's sister, Mary. And while Martha was busying herself making preparations, Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus. She was intently focused on Jesus. She was enjoying and adoring the presence of Jesus. She was hanging on every word that came out of his mouth. And in this passage, Mary is the example set before us as the model of Christian faith and practice. Now, let's make sure we understand something. Martha's problem was not her serving. Christians are servants. That's what we are. We are to serve. Martha's problem was not her serving. Martha's problem was that she was distracted. Her mind was wrapped up in things other than the one thing that is necessary. The point of this passage is found down in verse 42, where Jesus said, "One thing is necessary." There is one thing that is of utmost importance. There is one thing that should be priority, and therefore should inform and guide us in all other things. If you get this one thing, you will do well. If you miss this one thing, you will suffer loss. And in our passage, Martha was missing it, and Mary was getting it. Martha was distracted, and Mary was choosing the good portion. I see three lessons in this passage that we're going to cover today. And most of them are concerning Martha and how the Lord dealt with her. I think, based on the testimony of Scripture, that Martha learned these lessons that day. And we need to learn them with her. So here's the first lesson. There is a great danger of being distracted by good and unnecessary things. It's not just a danger, it is a great danger. We are in danger of being distracted by good and unnecessary things. Verse 40 says that Martha was distracted with much serving. She had invited Jesus into her house, into her home, and she wanted to serve him. And so she got busy doing that. I mean, can't you see her? I can picture her running around the house. She's red-faced, and she's breathless, and she's doing this, and she's doing that. very likely preparing a meal for Jesus to eat. Perhaps she was also preparing a place for Jesus and the others with him to sleep. And nothing that she was doing was wrong. Nothing she was doing was wrong in and of itself. But the Bible says she was distracted. Jesus was in the house, and she had an opportunity to listen to him teach. Her mind was wrapped up in things other than the one thing that is necessary. And I don't know about you all, but I can very easily relate to Martha. I can allow my life to get just wrapped up and busy in a lot of things that are good, but not necessary. And we find we have to multitask, right? We got to have this hand doing one thing and this hand doing another, and then my feet going this direction to do a third thing. And the pace of our life is like that. You know, it's like a race. It's like a race. And we go from one place to the next, to the next, one class to the next, to the next, one this, that, and where each place we get, we're arriving red-faced and breathless. If not on the outside, at least on the inside, for sure. I've shared this with you before, that in 2010, my family and I, we went to Africa for several weeks on mission. And while we were there, we learned a few words in one of the African languages. And one of the languages that we learned was the word that they use for people like us. People who come in as visitors into the country, and especially people who come from industrialized, like Western nations, like ours. The word was Azungu. And Azungu refers not only to a white person, it's not solely to a white person, but it refers to any foreigner, and especially, again, foreigners who come in from Western-type nations. Industrialized. And we learned about the origin of that word, Azungu. The word, it comes from a word meaning one who wanders around, Azungu. But the root word, Zungu, means to spin on one spot. It was interesting. I found it insightful that native Africans, when we came into their country, when they saw us, they saw us as a people who were always wandering around but spinning on one spot. We can be a very busy people. Running, like rats in a race, chasing cheese that always just out of our reach. Nothing wrong with a cheese, except that it becomes our necessary thing. Well, let's just assume that Martha was busy preparing a meal for Jesus, because I think it's very likely that if she welcomed him into her home, she fed him. So let's just assume that Martha was busy preparing a meal for him. So we might say, now, that's necessary, right? People got to eat, right? But we'd be missing the point of the text. Let's imagine that we could list everything in the life of a human being. You could list everything in the life of a human being, from birth through death and beyond, since we know that each human being is created with a soul that can never die, but will exist forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. So if you could list everything in the life of a human being, from birth through death and beyond, what is the one thing that is absolutely necessary? Is it physical food? Let's let Jesus answer that question. Before his ministry, Jesus was out in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, and he was being tempted by the devil. And the devil tempted Jesus. One of the ways he tempted Jesus was with hunger. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil said, "You're the Son of God. Turn these stones into bread." And what did Jesus say? He quoted Scripture, and he said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God."
And then remember we read in John chapter 4 where Jesus was at a well in Samaria and he was teaching a woman about himself, the truth of who he was, that he is the promised Christ, the Savior of the world. And Jesus' disciples come back and they find him talking and they're like, they ask a question. What do they ask? Have you eaten? They were concerned that Jesus had not eaten. And what did Jesus say? He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Listen, there is only one thing that is necessary, that is absolutely necessary for human flourishing. And it is to know God. It is personal, intimate knowledge of his will, his power, his wisdom, his love, his mercy, his grace. We are in great danger of being distracted by good and unnecessary things. One of my favorite authors, J.C. Ryle, wrote this about our text today. He said, the fault of Martha should be a perpetual warning to all Christians. If we desire to grow in grace and to enjoy soul prosperity, we must beware the cares of this world. Except we watch and pray, they will insensibly eat up our spirituality and bring leanness on our souls. It is not open sin or flagrant breaches of God's commands alone which lead men to eternal ruin. It is far more frequently an excessive attention to things that are in themselves good and being distracted with much serving. Good and unnecessary things can distract us and cause us to miss the good portion. That's the first lesson. The second lesson is this. The spirit of distraction will be anxiety and resentment toward others and toward God. There are signs that signal when we're distracted. And those signs include anxiety and resentment toward others and toward God. I mean, look at Martha. She was busy serving and mad about it. It happens far too often, does it not? She was busy serving and mad about it. I mean, she went up to Jesus as he was teaching, and what she should have done in her mounting frustration, what she should have done was just sat herself down at Jesus' feet, put her arm around her sister Mary, and listened. But instead, she interrupted Jesus' teaching. This event has perhaps more in common with the feeding of the 5,000 than we realize. Jesus did not come to Martha's house to feed himself. He did not come to Martha's house for her to serve him a meal. Jesus came to Martha's house to feed them. Essentially the same thing that we learned in the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus came to feed them. He did not come to be served. He did not come into our world to be served. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, for us. He said so. He did not come into Martha's house to eat a meal. He came to teach truth about himself. But Martha is distracted and she says, don't you care? I mean, in her mounting frustration, she foolishly goes up to the one on whom we can cast all of our anxieties, knowing that he cares for us. She went up to him and she said, don't you care? I mean, I know, Jesus, that you're talking about salvation and you're talking about how to have eternal life and how you will make us to lie down in green pastures and how you will lead us beside still waters and how you will restore our soul. I know you're talking about these matters, but can't you see that I'm running a rat race trying to get bread on the table? Don't you care? This is the result of her distraction. She was stressed. And she's mad about it. And then she looks down at her sister Mary and she resents her. She said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" I mean, just look at her. She's just sitting there, listening. She's not even concerned about what you're going to eat, Jesus. Think about, again, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness as the devil tempted him with earthly bread, right? Turn these stones into bread. And ask this question of this passage: who is Martha listening to and who is Mary listening to? Martha's mind is so wrapped up on earthly matters, on earthly bread, on which man cannot live alone, while Mary is feasting on the bread that has come down from heaven. The life-giving, needful, satisfying Word of God. But her focus is all out of whack, and she's so mixed up that her resentment, it just keeps getting uglier and uglier. I mean, finally, she issues an outright demand to Jesus. She says, "Tell my sister to get up and help me." Mary's listening to Jesus, and Martha resented Mary and judged Mary for the very thing that Martha should have been doing as well. She was missing out, and so she's all anxious and she's resentful. And the same thing happens to you and me when we are distracted by good and unnecessary things. We start worrying about how in the world we're going to accomplish everything we think we need to accomplish. And so we make our lists and we fill our calendars and we try to set priorities. What's going to be first? What's going to be second? What's going to be third? I must multitask, and yet still I don't see how in the world I'm going to get done everything that needs to be done. And so we start chewing our fingernails and popping blood pressure pills, and our relationships start to suffer. And so our child comes up and asks a question and receives us a growl in response. Our spouse reaches out with a request and draws back a nub when he or she does. You know, a neighbor comes and says, "Hey, I need some help." And even if you do help the neighbor, you see the neighbor as something of an inconvenience rather than a person to love. And in the midst of all of that, you're asking the question, where is God in this chaos? And does He care that I'm drowning here? Life has become a rat race and you simply want an escape. Calgon, take me away. Meanwhile, Jesus is saying, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That leads us to the final lesson in our passage today. Third lesson is this: choose the good portion. Listening to Jesus is the one necessary thing. Jesus in verse 41 said, "Martha, Martha," it's a rebuke, but it's a gentle rebuke. I mean, he's always tender. Jesus is always gentle and lowly in heart. Man, Martha's so out of whack. She's so distracted. She's so out of focus that she's resenting the sister she was supposed to love, and she's questioning the Lord she was supposed to worship. And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and you're troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Listen to me. Let me make you to lie down in green pastures, well-fed and content.
Let me lead you beside the still waters. Let me restore your soul. Mary has chosen the good portion. By the way, throughout Scripture, God reveals himself. This is beautiful. God reveals himself as the portion for his people. Now, that's inheritance language. If we weren't aware, that's what it is. It's inheritance. I'm going to get my portion, right? It's inheritance. God is the inheritance that his people will enjoy forever. And in Scripture, God's people speak of God as our portion. And when God's people in Scripture speak of God as our portion, there's always this acknowledged need for God right here, right now. There is this confession of our need right here, right now, of his mercy. We need his mercy, we need his care, we need his guidance. So let me give you a couple of examples. Psalm 73, the psalmist said this, "You hold my right hand," he's speaking to God, "You hold my right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Do you see? God is my portion, and oh, how I need him right here, right now, to guide me. And he will guide. And then Psalm 27 is another one. This is David. David, the psalmist, said, "One thing have I asked of the Lord." One thing. This is one thing necessary. "One thing that I will seek after. One thing. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That's the one thing. Jesus in our passage said to Martha, one thing is necessary. One thing. Knowing me. And how are you going to know me? Listen to me. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. No, I'm not going to tell her to get up. She's chose the one thing necessary. The good part is not going to be taken away from her. Jesus is tenderly calling for Martha. He's tenderly calling for you and me to respond to him with words like what Jake read from Psalm 119 this morning when he read from God's Word. It says, "Turn my eyes away from worthless things that I may find life in your ways." You know, just a couple of chapters far forward in Luke chapter 12, Jesus will say this. He'll say, "Don't worry about food and clothing. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Confession time. For me, can I confess something to you? I am often tempted to worry over whether I'm going to have enough time to do everything I think needs to be done. I don't really worry about having clothes. I know that's just where God, by his grace, has me in my life. I got plenty of clothes. I don't worry about that. I got plenty of food. I could skip meals. I could afford to do that. But I worry about having enough time to do everything that I think needs to be done. That's the temptation that I face. And if I fall to that temptation, you know what happens in my life? I get stressed. And I wind up barking at my wife, barking at my brothers and my sisters in Christ. And not only can I find little time to engage people with the love of Jesus, but I can actually resent the people who suddenly appear in my overcrowded schedule. Maybe I'm alone in that temptation, but I don't think so. Jesus' promise that I just mentioned from Luke 12, it holds just as true for the ability and time to get things done that need to get done as it does for all other necessities of life.
Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Keep your focus on Jesus. Sit at the feet of Jesus every moment of every day. And yes, of course, I mean figuratively there, that you're at in His presence, enjoying His presence, listening to Him, and all these things will be added to you. Choose the good portion, and Jesus will enable you to do all things well. All things. Now, I can speak to some practical measures that could help us, that can help us to choose the good portion. And I should do that. So I'm going to spend just a few minutes before we end doing that. The deacons and I are reading together a book right now that's very helpful on the subject of having margin in our lives. The reason sometimes we're distracted from really listening to Jesus, we're not able to welcome people into our lives in order to engage them with the love of Jesus is because we don't have margin in our lives. So let me explain what I'm talking about. And I gave you a good example. The book we're reading, it talked about how margin is important on the printed page, right? So if you were to take a book and open a book and there were no margins, there were words that were just completely filled with words, all the way to the top, all the way to the bottom, left and right, words, 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 no margins. You wouldn't want to read that book. You'd open that book, you'd look inside, and it would look like busy chaos. There's words everywhere. It's the same way with our lives. One author that they quoted, they wrote this: without margin, both rest and contemplation are but theoretical concepts, unaffordable and unrealistic. We do not follow 2 inches behind the next car on the interstate. That would leave no margin for error. We do not allow only 2 minutes to change planes in Chicago. That would be foolish in the extreme. We do not load boats until they are nearly submerged. That would invite disaster. Why then do we insist on leaving no buffer, no space, no reserves in our day to day? And so I can speak to some practical measures. They're actually called spiritual disciplines. I could speak to some practical measures in terms of having margin in our lives to be in the Bible every day so that we can listen to Jesus. That is vital. I could speak to having margin in our lives to be present with the gathered church as we come together to sing His praises and to hear His word preached as Jesus speaks to the church. That is vital. I could speak to having margin in our lives so that we're actually able to welcome people into our lives and engage them with the love of Jesus. That is vital. And those practical measures called spiritual disciplines, those are excellent and healthy for us to take up. That's why God gave them as a means of grace to us. But the matter, the heart of the matter concerning our flourishing, all of it feeds into this, okay? That we would live, oh God, help me to live, every single moment of every single day at the feet of my Lord. Listening to Jesus as I'm walking and as I'm driving, as I'm whatever I'm doing, that I'm at His feet and I'm listening to Jesus and I'm enjoying His presence. That's how I'm going to flourish. That's how you will flourish. That's how we will flourish as a local church. Jesus will take care of the text and the margin of our lives. The whole book. If we're sitting at His feet and we're listening to Jesus. Hey, there's good news here for us today. The rat race is not how Jesus wants us to live. Why chase after elusive cheese when you can feast on the bread of life? Jesus does not want us to live in chaos. He wants us to live with peaceful order. Jesus does not want us to live with anxiety. He wants us to experience a restful existence. That peace, that rest comes only when Jesus is the priority. Not when Jesus is at the top of the list. but when Jesus is the list for us. And that's the lesson of this passage. He is the one necessary thing. He is the good portion Mary chose. And so should we.